This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, handling things behind the scenes, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from the Bayou. Now he's an NFL referee now, Jason Lede. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Finally get to see you this past Monday. We got schedules that are similar. We all over the place. So good to see you Monday, and great to talk to you this evening.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me on. It was good to see you out there on the golf course, and it was a great day. Glad to be with you.
Jason, before we get into kind of how you got into the refereeing world, we've had a texter, and he's asked a number of different times about this, about how much training you do. And I think it's really kind of built off of something Carl Johnson said with us a year ago about positioning and getting in the right position to make a call and how important it is. And after a game, how much time do you guys spend looking back at the tape of that game that you just had and say, man, you know, I maybe missed this here. I wasn't in the right spot for it. So talk a little bit about how important positioning is out on the field and after a game to go back and look at kind of maybe, because we all human, we all going to make some mistakes in this world. Sure. It's not going to be 100%, but to go back and look at maybe I could have got a better angle on that.
Right. And you bring a good point, Mike. You know, one thing in the officiating world we talk about is having strong mechanics. Mechanics is your positioning, basically, how to be in a great position to see the play, because it happens fast. Our eyes got to be trained to see the ball, to see the catch, to see the foot at the sideline. And you don't just do that by getting up on a Sunday, putting on the stripes, and going to do the game. So a lot of training in off season. Right now we're in the off season. We're about to get cranked up. It'll be my year three coming up. So this past off season, I've been training in the gym, doing some test questions, watching film, going back and watching last year's film, watching my mechanics, watching my calls, and seeing if I can be in a better position. Some things that the average fan may not see is the official in the right position? But as officials, we know whether we could have been a little bit more to the left, a little bit deeper, a little bit to the side, so we can have a better angle to make that call that's maybe happening at the sideline or the goal line. So definitely mechanics, when we look at officials coming in from high school into college, we look at their mechanics. We see how they look in uniform. Are they athletic looking? Can they move? Can they run? Can they backpedal? And are they still when that play comes to them? Because having a ball in the air and a catch, you want to be backpedaling, but you also want to break it down and try to have steady eyes so you can make an excellent call at that moment.
Man, you sound like you're doing as much film work as I do with all this. Looking at what you got to look at, kind of breaking it down, making that right call in the position of being that referee. Jason, tell everybody a little bit about kind of how you got started in the refereeing business and your work up from the high school level to college and now into the pros.
Sure, yeah. I went to St. Charles Catholic High School, played football, and got a scholarship to Nicholls State. Loved the game of football. And then I work here at Thibodaux Regional Health System now. But at the time, I was just still missing the game. So I had a buddy of mine. I was at the gym one night in 1997, the same year I got married. So that's how I keep track of the number of years I officiate. He invited me to a local high school meeting. And so I went and then fell in love with officiating. I did high school for about 6 years and then started applying to the Southland Conference. Southland Conference invited me to McNeese State University for a scrimmage. I went out a few months later. I got a 3-game schedule the first year. Got into the Southland Conference full-time, had some success in playoff games. And then the Big 12 actually came in and took over the Southland as a minor league program for us. So when the Big 12 officials moved on or retired, they would bring in Southland officials up. I was able to work the Big 12 for 12 years. And at this time, that's when the NFL scouts, they come out to the games and they start critiquing certain officials. Now, you don't know they're out there. You work your game and then the NFL finds you. They go through a vetting process, a background check, security check. They call your friends. They call your coworkers. They try to get as much dirt they can on you to make sure when they bring you up that we have people that are high quality people that we bring in. And so that's been my journey through the Southland Big 12, and then I'm entering my third year into the league, which I'm very excited about.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Okay, did my cousin Tim coach you at St. Charles, or you have Frank Monica?
I had Tim Dettillier, and then Frank Monica recruited me when he was at Tulane.
Okay, gotcha. So you got both worlds of that St. Charles Catholic on that part of it.
Right.
One of the things, Jason, that I think we see a lot more of than maybe in years past is the offensive pass interference call. Man, growing up, that was a rarity. And same with you. Now, you didn't see that much at the collegiate or at the professional level. But there's much more of an emphasis on that rule today than ever before, in my opinion. And having, you know, I'm 60-something years old, so I've never seen it called like it is today.
Yeah, you definitely see changes. But it's still a league that they want to see points. They want to see offensive explosion. And so when you have an offensive pass interference call, that kind of brings it back, brings the air out of the balloon a little bit. But, you know, we do look for certain indicators for offensive pass interference where we look for gaining separation versus creating separation. And sometimes these big receivers, they'll gain separation just because of their size. It might be a 6'4 receiver going against a 5'9 defensive back. But, you know, creating separation, which is what you typically see is the push off at a top of the route, and then he turns and catches the ball. Those are the big ones we want to get. The rules for offensive pass interference on the NFL and college are slightly different, too. So sometimes, you know, people get confused when they're watching high school ball on Friday versus Saturday versus Sunday, that some of the rules are different. But there is an emphasis to make sure that, you know, the game is fair. The DB still has a right to the ball, just like the offensive receiver. But one thing that we do look for is that creating and pushing off, trying to push that DB away from you so you can make a clean catch. Those are the big ones we need to get as a deep official.
Jason, how much is involved with this with communication with one another out on the field? You might not have seen something, but somebody else did. And the communication now, at one time, official drops a flag, that's it, that's the call. But I see a lot more communication between one another, and now you have somebody kind of watching above, TV-wise, that can also help y'all to facilitate a call out on the field. Because for instant replay, if it's against your team or it's for it, you know what? I just want it right. I think most fans are like that. They just want it right if you're going to have it. So a little bit about the communication with yourself and other officials, and also them giving you information from the sky, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You said the fans just want to get it right. And the number one thing that we as officials, we want to get it right even more so. So, you know, if we have a play and I say I see a foul and my partner, who I have to trust, comes up to me and he's pretty assertive saying, hey, let's pick this up. I had a better angle. I need to listen to that information because I might have had an angle that maybe I wasn't too sure. I felt it was a foul, but then he had a clear picture. So he needs to come in pretty hard and assertive and tell me, hey, this angle, he did not push him in the back. It was more from the side. I need to take that information and be able to pick that up if we need. And you know, not to get into too much of the mud, but, you know, replay can assist on certain things. There's a rule book of what they can assist us with and what they can't. So we just have to make sure that we follow policy. And as the game goes along, the bottom line is replay is there to help us get things right at the end of the day. Right now, each team has one goal, Mike, and you know what that goal is, right? To get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. I can tell you each official has one goal also, and that's to get to the Super Bowl just as much as each team. So we're graded every week. At the end of the year, the top guys get to work the postseason, get to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, it's definitely you know, right now is the off season, like I mentioned before. You either get better or you stay stagnant. And so there's some younger officials coming up that are going to be better than us. And so if we stay pretty stagnant, we don't do the things that we need to do now, they can easily pass us up. So we definitely got to stay on top of the game.
Jason, I was going to let you go, but I got to ask you this. Are you better with working with a group of, you might want to say, all-star officials, or with a group that you've worked with for a long time and you sort of know how they make calls out on the field? Because there's some good and bad in that. If I haven't worked with you in a while, I'm not sure of what you kind of see, and you're not sure what I see. There is good and bad with that, of breaking it up, and I understand giving the top-rated guys the big games, but there also is a negative because you guys work as a team.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot of debate in there and some conversation, some good conversation, but each of us is interchangeable. So, you know, I never worked with Carl Johnson on a Sunday. We worked together on a Friday night, but not a Sunday. But I know if I get in a game with Carl, I know his tendencies because I've watched him over the years. And we do know each other. We go to clinics in off season. We go to clinics during the season. So we do have a feel of each other of you know, where we need to be at and who we can trust. But you're right, Mike. As a crew, the crew is the main thing. And so you do get to know your crewmates on a personal level. You get to know the wives and the children. You know their tendencies on the field. You know when you got to go help your crewmate out. You might have had a tough call, so his head may be swimming a little bit, so you might need to go up to him and kind of pull him back in. So we have those things. And yes, as a crew in week 13, you're pretty close. And then when you get to postseason, you can be working with new guys. But these guys are all professional. We all want what's best. We want to be the best on the field. So I really don't see that as a big issue from our standpoint that if I work with someone I haven't worked with before, we're still going to do a great job on the field for those two teams.
Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Man, great stuff. And I know it's not a profession. A lot of people, when they come out of college, say, man, that's what I want to do. But you kind of get drawn to it like you are. And, man, again, thanks so much for telling us your story. Really appreciate it. And congratulations on making it to the NFL.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
All right. Jason Ledé does a great job moving himself up. You heard him, former St. Charles Catholic football player, went to Nichols and now refereeing in the National Football League.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.